أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه من سن بسنة يوم الدين، أما بعد. Regarding the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said earlier, that there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever memorized or understood the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then implemented with it, that مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever memorized it and understood it and implemented it, they have certainly enter, will certainly enter Jannah. And regarding 99, I know it's very famous in the Islamic world that, oh, Allah has 99 names. So I just wanted to, in the introduction, I wanted to clear a couple of points. Number one, there's a myth and misconception that Allah has only 99 names. Allah doesn't have only 99 names. He has more than 99 names. So then people say, what about that hadith where Rasulullah said, whoever memorized 99 names? Well, that hadith is talking about the names that have appeared in the Quran. But Allah has more, Allah is not limited. See, what is wrong with the concept? If we limit Allah's names to 99, we are as if limiting Allah's, you know, being. And Allah is infinite, is unlimited. So when something is unlimited or infinite, you cannot compress it into put it in a finite. That's concept number one. Second, we have other hadith of Rasulullah that he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahajjud, in Ramadan, in Taraweeh. Also he used to make dua by saying this, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ إِسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ, that, O Allah, I ask you of every name that you have named yourself. أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ, or I ask you also by the name that you may have taught to any of your khalq, meaning any of your creation. أَوْ أَنزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكَ, or any name that you may have revealed in the book, meaning here Qur'an. So whatever names of Allah are mentioned in the Qur'an, that is also part of it. أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدِكَ, or any name that you may have hidden, withheld Allah in your عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ, in the unknown, unseen. So this hadith of Rasulullah and this dua of Rasulullah that he used to make in his Salat al-Tahajjud and Salat al-Qiyam al-Layl is showing us that Rasulullah himself is admitting and acknowledging that Allah doesn't have only 99 names, but he is giving us the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so vast, so expansive, that Allah is not limited with 99. There are four criteria. He said, oh Allah, I ask you of the names that you have called yourself. So that's criteria number one. And, oh Allah, I ask you by the names that you have taught to any of your creation. Could be the angels, could be the jinn, could be the insan. And, oh Allah, I ask you by the names that you may have kept in your unknown, unseen, ghaib. So these are the three parameters or dimensions regarding the issue of names. And that's why I wanted to clarify that if some Muslim tells you, oh Allah has 99 names. And speaking of 99 names, I know kids many times they say, oh, look at your hands. You know, you have 81 in Arabic on your left hand, left palm, and you have 18 in Arabic on your right palm. If you join them together, 81 plus 18, if my math is not wrong, it's 99. So people sometimes use that. There is no such thing as that. Rasulullah did not give any, you know, priority to this. He did not give any importance to this. Nor is there any hadith that we find that he said, oh, look to your hands, you have Allah's 99 names.
You know how they learn in Hajj? Take 81, subtract it from 18, what do you get? 63, the death of the
Rasul. See, people can make up all kinds of things with numbers. That's why we got to stay away from these myths. So, whatever you see in your hand, that is just from Allah, it's a line. Then, so be it. If it's 81 plus 18, 99, so be it, no problem. However, some scholars translate this as that, look, this is one of the signs of Allah's creation in you. Based on the ayah in Surah Shura, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, سَنُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِنَا, we will show you our ayat, our signs, فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, we will show you our signs in the heavens and the earth and the universe, like the galaxies, the stars, the moon and sun, everything. And we will also show you our signs in your own self, meaning this is one of it. So that's why some scholars interpret this, that this could be one of the signs of Allah, but Allah alam, Allah knows best. Third thing that needs to be clarified also, regarding names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has names and sifat. And what we're covering here in this Thursday lecture, we're covering one branch of Tawheed. Tawheed, we have Tawheed Rububiyyah, Tawheed Al-Asma' Sifat, and Tawheed Al-Ibadah. Tawheed Rububiyyah means that Allah is the one and only Rabb. There is no other Rabb besides Allah. We only worship Him and adhere towards Him. Tawheed Al-Asma' Sifat means that there is no one comparable or similar to Allah. And that's the part of Tawheed that we'll be covering every Thursday by looking at the names and attributes of Allah. That's what the title itself means. Tawheed al-Asma. Asma is the plural of ism. So Tawheed of the names was Sifat. Asma was Sifat. Sifat is the plural of Sifa in Arabic. So what we are saying is the oneness or the unison or the unity of Allah's names and attributes. Meaning whatever names you see of Allah, whatever Sifa attribute you see of Allah, only Allah belongs to it. Because Allah said in the Quran, also in Surah Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the all-hearing and all-seeing. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. In other words, a lot of times people on earth have claimed, those who came before us, such as Fir'aun, Pharaoh, or Namrud, or other tyrants, that they claim that they are Allah, and they would call themselves as Khaliq, the Creator, or they'll call themselves as Malik. So we have to understand, in Tawheed al-Asma al-Sifat, only Allah belongs to these names. And if you notice ever, that the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all begin with Al. So those of you who know Arabic grammar, from the grammar point of view, whenever in Arabic language we put Alif and Lam, it makes it definite. It's a definite article in the grammar of that language. So therefore, what does it mean by definite? It means that is the only one. That's why you see that Allah, you know, the Creator, the fashioner, you know, the king, everything starts with the, meaning He is the only one. So, the most merciful. You don't say just most merciful, you say the most merciful. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Why? Because all Rahman, all Rahmaniyat ends with Allah. I mean, begins with Allah and ends with Him, meaning there's no other one who is merciful. Yes, we can call ourselves Rahman, you know, Brother Rahman, Brother Rahim, Brother Malik, Brother so-and-so. That is the indefinite article. So in the sense of that it is just without the al. And that is why people, scholars also say that in terms of the names of Allah, you see the main name of Allah is what? What's the main name of Allah?
Al-Ilah.
Thank you. I wanted you to say Allah, but you went ahead one step. If you see the main name of Allah is Allah. Allah is really Alif Lam Al-Ilah. Allah. So Allah is based on that He is the only God, the one and only God. When we say La ilaha illallah, what are we saying in our shahada, in our kalima shahada? We're saying La ilaha, we are negating, we are wiping off, we are cleaning the table with everything. La ilaha, there is no God, there is no deity worthy of worship, there is no supreme being. La ilaha illallah, except Allah, meaning except illa Allah. So we're saying that there's no God, there's no deity, there's no supreme being worthy of worship except Allah, the one and only. This is so much for the introduction. One more thing before we start with the actual names is that with Allah's names, you can keep Allah's names. But Rasulullah said that it's better that you name them as slave of something. Like Abdullah, slave of Allah. Abdul Rahman, slave of Rahman. Abdul Khaliq, slave of the Creator. Abdul Malik, slave of the King. And so on and so forth. So if you want to keep your son's name or daughter's name, for daughter it will not be Abd, because Abd is for a boy, male. For daughter it will be Amatullah. Okay? Amatul Rahman. Amatul Khaliq. Ama means the female slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say slave of Allah, it really means that we are bonded and linked with Allah. Meaning we can have no freeway from the obligations of Allah. And that's what the word slavery entitles here. It does not mean the physical slavery that we see here in the world. Although we are already slaves of Allah, of other than Allah. We are either slaves of our desires and wants, we are slaves of money, we are slaves of career, we are slaves of education. I mean, if you look at it, anyone who's not a slave of Allah is a slave of something else. Whether they are slave of Shaitan, slave of Pharaoh, or slave of their wish and whim and desire, or slave of something else. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that free yourself from all man-made slavery. Free yourself from all kinds of worldly, materialistic desires and slavery, and come to Allah the one only, because when you come to the slavery of Allah, there is eternal freedom. So what a beautiful kind of slavery that brings you freedom and glory. Because when you enslave yourself to Allah's laws and regulations, you are now free into a different realm. And finally, last but not the least, many of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll see their opposites. You will find opposites. And many you will not find opposites. This is to show you the wahdaniyah of Allah, the power, the qudra, the magnitude, the solitude of Allah. For example, what I mean? There is one of the names of Allah is Al-Awwal, the first. Do we have a last? Yes. Al-Akhiru. Okay? So now, by any common sense and logic, you know that Al-Awwal is the first, Al-Akhir is the last, so you have opposite over there. But yes, when we say opposite, it does not mean the opposite that you are commonly known as in your logic in dunya. In dunya, if you have a positive, you have negative. So negative is the opposite of positive. But negative is not a good thing. Negative is not a good thing. You accept that, right? Positive people like that, but negative they don't like that, although they're opposite of each other. Same thing above and under. They're both opposite of each other. Something is above, something is under. But the thing that is under, nobody's going to appreciate that. What I'm trying to make you realize is, in the worldly opposites, the opposite may have one that is, you know, positive, and one may have negative aspect. When it comes to Allah's names, when you have the opposites, there is no negative aspect. Everything is positive. If Allah says He's the first, Al-Awwal, we'll explain more in a couple of minutes what it means. You'll see that it's a positive aspect. When Allah says that He is Al-Akhir, the last, it is in a positive aspect, not negative. As opposed to like in a class, you say, this is the first student and this is the last student. And obviously the last student is going to feel shy, right? What do you mean? I'm last, and the first is going to feel very good, oh, I'm first. But not with Allah's names. When Allah says Al-Awwal wal-Akhir, then it means in a different realm, and we'll explain that. As for the other one that I said, that there are some names that they don't have opposite. For example, Allah, one of His names is Al-Ghani, the rich. Now, by common sense, you know that the opposite of rich is what? Poor. Does Allah have any name as Al-Faqih? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. No. So this is what you see, the uniqueness. This is what we mean by Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. That Allah is unique in His attributes. Allah is unique in His names. And how is He unique? Because some names He possesses opposites, both in positive aspect, and some names He will not possess opposite. Okay? So, having said all of that in introduction, so much for introduction, we now start with the names. The first four names that we want to discuss for today is Al-Awwalu, Wal-Akhiru, Wal-Zahiru, Wal-Batin. There is an ayah in the Quran where Allah SWT tells us in Surah Hadid, Surah 57, verse number 3, if you want to write the citation. Surah 57, verse 3, Surah Hadid. Hadid means iron. So it's the surah that is right after Surah Waqiyah. And it's towards the end of the 27th juz, 27th para in the Quran. In that surah, in verse number 3, Allah SWT tells about Himself. He says, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. Allah Himself is saying in the Quran, in the ayah, that He is Allah, the first and the last, and the apparent and the hidden. وَالْبَاطِنُ. Now what does it mean? The best tafsir of the ayahs of the Quran is from, first of all, the Quran itself, another ayah, or the hadith of Rasulullah. The best tafsir of these four names of Allah is in the dua that Rasulullah used to make in tahajjud, an hour before Fajr. In that salah, he would start with this dua many times. And what is that? Allahumma antal awwalu falaysa qablaka shay, wa antal akhiru falaysa ba'daka shay, wa antal zahiru falaysa fawqaka shay, wa antal batin falaysa dunaka shay. In that dua, what is Rasulullah saying? He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his names and those four names, and he's explaining what the criteria of the name is. He's saying, oh Allah, antal awwal falaysa qablaka shay. Oh Allah, you are the first. There is nothing before you. Meaning when there is nothing in this whole universe, in this whole cone that we say in Arabic, the universe, when there was nothing, there was Allah. And when everything was finished, there will still be Allah. This is the meaning of Awwal and Akhir. Meaning He is the Creator, yeah, He is the Master, we know that. But what is the uniqueness of the Creator? He is the first. When nothing existed, not even the angels, not even Jibreel, not even the Arsh of Allah, nothing existed, Allah existed. So that's what Rasulullah is saying is, Allahumma antal awwalu falaysa qablaka shay, wa antal akhiru falaysa ba'daka shay. The word qabl and ba'd in Arabic means before and after. So Rasulullah is acknowledging in his dua that, oh Allah, you are the first and there was nothing before you. And oh Allah, you are the last and there's nothing after you. Do you have an ayah in the Quran for this? Yes. Surah Rahman, Surah 55. What does Allah tell us? He tells us, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Allah SWT is saying there in Surah Rahman that kullu man alayya fan, everything that you see in this universe, not just this earth, but in Jupiter, Saturn, planets and other galaxies, everything that you see, fan. Fan in Arabic means it will wipe away, erase, gone, perish. Meaning it will decay, it will perish, it is bound to perish. That is the nature of life or nature of any creation. Nothing remains here forever. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. Everything that is created, makhluk, everything that is created, mind my words, everything that is created is bound to perish. But what is the difference between the creation and the creator? The creator never perishes, remains everlasting forever. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. Look at the word that Allah uses. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And Allah's existence and personality and being will remain ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. He is most deserving of all the Jalal, all the magnitude and glory. All glory be to Allah. Because when everything will finish, Allah will still remain Baqi. That's why we know that one of the 99 names of Allah is Al-Baqi, the everlasting, from Baqa. It's a word that's used in Urdu also, not just in Arabic. That's what Rasulullah is saying, that أَنْتَ الْآخِرُ فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٍ. Okay. So that ayah over there in Surah Rahman very clearly explains to us what does أول and آخر mean. It does not mean like first and last in a class, but rather it means that Allah was the originator before everything. And Allah will be the last after everything. I mean, subhanAllah, Jibreel Islam will die and perish. Israfil, the one that will blow the trumpet, will also die. And after that, the last to go is who? You need coffee? Tea? Who's the last to go? Malak al-Maut, the angel of death. Because Malak al-Maut, angel of death, will take the death of Jibreel, take the death of Israfil. And then Allah will say, you, now, the one who I appointed for taking the life of everything, even the angels, now you, I will take your life. So now there's nobody there. No earth, no sun, no moon, no galaxy, no planets, no stars, no angels, no jinns, no humans, no Israfil, no Jibreel, no Mikael, no Malak al-Maut. The one that takes my and your life, even that is gone. And then, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Allah the Baqi will remain. And he'll say, where are the people? Nobody there. And then recycle will begin. Then Allah will start creating everything again, bit by bit. Once a nice 7th grader student asked me in class in Ghazali, I don't see a point, Brother Jarrell. What's wrong? Why would Allah finish everything and then he's going to start it? If he has to start, then why would he go? And of course he's a 7th grader. His akal is still limited. And I answered based on his criteria, look, Allah wants to show us that He is Allah. If He does not make us perish and go away. So next time if your kids ask you this question, this is how you answer them. If Allah doesn't make all this thing to perish away, we might begin to develop shukuk, shak. Is Allah really Allah? This is the magnitude of Allah, that He's going to wipe off everything. And then He's going to create everything as is. Even this projector can come back as is. Even me and you, with our own fingernails and fingers and palms and eyes and everything, we're going to come exactly ditto the same. And when you see yourself on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will fall down in gratitude. Subhanallah, may I be sacrificed for that Allah that gave me death, wiped me off totally, wiped this world totally, and now that I'm again, I see even my hair on the finger, on the hands, is exactly the same I was when I was in dunya. But now that they are in Qiyamah, it's a different world, it's a different realm. Even the fingerprints are exactly the same. That is when the 7th grader or any kid will get to realize, this is Allah we're talking about. So next time any kid or any non-Muslim asks you, why does Allah have to kill everybody and make everything go if He has to recreate them? Isn't that too much work? No, it's too much work for me and you, because we are a creation, we are tired. But Allah is the creator. To understand the Creator, we have to see His power. And this is why Allah is going to make us perish. To show His power, that look, you were nothing, I created you. You were nothing, I gave you life and gave you everything. Then I made you into nothing again. All those who are right now resting in the graveyards, where are they? Winston Churchill, Shakespeare, Einstein? It's just mainly names left on paper. Do we have their existence? No. Do we have Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, Napoleon, Alexander the Great, whatever? All these are just merely names. And brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, 100 years or 20 years from now, we will also be just names. We'll just be names, like these names. And this is what Allah is showing, that مَهْمَا زَالَ, no matter how high anyone goes, Mother Teresa, or all these names that you have, females and males both together, where will they go? They'll just become names. Mankind will only remember them as a name. That's it. You are just a name. In fact, there are many whose names are also forgotten. Do you know every single person buried in the graveyard? No. You only remember those who became mashhoor, famous, shahra. But those who are not famous, mashhoor, you don't even know them. So me and you, we will also become just names. And that is what Allah is saying. Don't just be a merely name. Be someone. For Allah's sake, for God's sake, do something in this world. So that you can leave behind a lasting legacy like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. They are not just names. 1400 years we've been talking about them. And for God knows how long we'll be talking about them. They are not just names. They are something because they're left behind. And that is what Allah is saying. Then look at Muhammad ﷺ. Look at Quran. It came, it made these Bedouin Arabs into not just names, but something like an emblem, a symbol to remember for future generations. So that's what we should teach our sons and daughters. That our sons and daughters should not be run of the mill. They should not be like every other Tom, Dick and Harry. But they should be someone who leaves behind something that even if the whole New Jersey doesn't remember, at least Budlick remembers, yes, there was once this boy or this girl, then he or she did something for the community of Budlick, or helped just build the fundraiser. So that is what Allah SWT is saying, the whole concept between Al-Awwal and Akhir, that between Allah, the first and Allah being the last, there is nothing in between. All of us that will come, will go and finish. Then comes the name of Zahir. Zahir, which literally comes from the root word of Zahara. Zahara means to be apparent, evident, to make a realization. And that is why you see that our front is known as Zahir. I'm sorry, our back is known as Zahir. الَّذِي أَنْقَذَ بَحْرَكَ. You know that surah that you recite? أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِذْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَذَ بَحْرَكَ. Zahir in Arabic literally means your back. Beat, Aki beat, your back. Why? Because your back is apparent, isn't it? Your back is exposed. You have eyes in the front, but you have no eyes in your back. So anyone can come and stab you in the back. And hence comes the phrase, don't stab your brother or sister in the back. Meaning what? You are the most vulnerable from your back. You're walking on the street, you don't know who's going to come from behind and stab you or shoot you from back. But if you're in the front, you're not vulnerable. Yes, you're exposed, but you can at least see with your eyes, oh, somebody's coming with a rock to hit me. Somebody's coming with a pistol to shoot me. So you would do something, you would hide, you would dodge. So in the front, Allah is giving you eyes to save yourself, to protect yourself, to preserve yourself. In the back, you're nothing. You're exposed. Do you agree or not? When you're walking in the park, walking in Central Park, walking anywhere in Bud Lake, in the lake, you don't know what's going on in the back. Allah is teaching us from just the names that He has given to our body parts. He's telling me, Allah, me and you, is telling us, why did He name the human body back as Zahr? Zahr. Because it's exposed, it's vulnerable, it can be easily attacked. And that's the same, because it's apparent, and it's exposed, and it's evident. So from the same way, not to compare Allah with ourselves, but to say that when Allah says He is Al-Zahir, He is the most evident, He's the most apparent. And this name is the most important to be told to who? No. Shaitan comes to you all day? No. Who should you tell this name to? In this dunya, in this world, when you bump, especially in this country, you bump in these people a lot. Atheist. One who does not believe in God. Or agnostic. Who at least understands that this world is being run by some supreme being, but still doesn't believe in God. An atheist, you tell them, give me, for God's sake, give me one more reason why you're atheist. Is, don't you see Allah, the Zahir? Allah is so apparent. Look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the clouds, look at the mountains, look at the trees, look at the rivers, look at the ocean. Tell me why, how can you deny Allah, the Zahir? Subhanallah. Because what does the atheist say? I have no proof. Give me one proof there is God. Subhanallah, don't they say that? They say, I'm telling you the argument. And when I talk to them, I say, look, one of the 99 names of Allah is Al-Zahir. He's apparent. So now the atheists say, okay, I can't see, I'm rubbing my eyes, where is Allah? I said, when he is Zahir, he's also Batin. Yes, he's apparent, but his apparency, his evidence is so supreme that he doesn't have to show you himself, yet you know that he's there. See, me and you, if you want to say Brother Gerard is existing, you have to bring me in physically. You have to grab my hand, bring me in front, say, oh, here is Brother Gerard. So for me to be apparent, I have to be there. If I just show you my work in the dunya, you will not say, oh, I don't know who's Brother Gerard. I don't know nothing about it. Allah is teaching us a big lesson. That Allah is a creator. He's not a makhluk. He's not a creation like us. So for the creator to be apparent, it has to be different from the creation. For the creation to be apparent, you have to see them. Seeing is believing. Because that's what the atheists say. Atheists say, seeing is believing. Show me Allah, I believe in Allah. But that is seeing and disbelieving is a good phrase, but that only works with creation. You want to say, show me a table, I'll show you a table, you believe in a table. Show me a book, I'll show you a book, you believe in it. But in order for the creator that has created all the creation, you cannot use the same logic. You can't say, show me God, or creator, and I'll believe it. No. This is the uniqueness of God. That yes, he is the creator, he is the apparent, yet he does not have to come physically to show to you to believe it. And that is the test of Iman, that you believe in Allah without seeing him. Ilmul Ghayb, Alimul Ghayb wa Shahada. And that's what they said. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab came to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Your friend says that he went to Isra Miraj. He went to Jerusalem so many thousand miles away. And not that, he went all the way to heavens. Do you believe him? What did Abu Bakr say? He earned the title of Siddiq by this incident. He said, I believe, if he said that, I do believe him, for because I believe in something more than that. I believe in the revelation that he says comes to him from the unseen. And I believe in something bigger than Isra Miraj. I believe in God, Allah, the one only. So Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab became speechless. They were like, mum. They said, we have no answer to give back to Abu Bakr. Because he believes in Allah, the unseen. And I'm trying my best to explain what the Zahir and Batin means, that Allah does not have to physically show himself, but he shows his existence in his creations. Allah says, go make a sun like that. Go make a moon like that. Go make a star like that. Go make a planet like that. Heck, these worldly scientists can't even make a single planet. I mean, forget making a single planet. They can't even discover a single planet, let alone make it. Because just recently, about a couple of months back, the astronomer said, hey, look. He said, hallelujah. What happened? We found a new 10th planet. You tell me that the world is so many billions of years old and now you're discovering the 10th planet and then you say you don't want to believe in God? What bigger proof Allah wants to give you? Allah is saying that you, the scientists, the atheists, God, by all means, I say this, all scientists are atheists, unless otherwise specified. No scientist believes in God. You ask anyone. On the front, they'll tell you, okay, I know this is a supreme being. But you want, if you really hone them down, you put them, you square them down in some way, you make them sit down and talk to them one-on-one, you'll find out that every scientist, whatever they may be, are atheists. Don't believe. Because what is the slogan in the scientific world? Seeing is believing. Touching is believing. Feeling is believing. Sensitivity. Scientists believe on experimentation. They say, if we can bring it to the lab and experiment on it and feel it and touch it and see it, we believe in it. Otherwise, we don't. Hence, back in the golden ages for them, they said that since we cannot feel God, see God, sense God, experiment on God, so we don't believe in God. This is what the scientist said. But Allah is saying, you don't need to test me. You don't need to experiment on me. Look at all these creations that I've created. Isn't that the biggest proof that I, Allah, is the Zahir? He's apparent. While he's apparent, he's also batin. He's hidden. Because he didn't show himself. Even to his own prophet, Musa, he did not show. Even to his own prophet, Muhammad, he did not show. When Aisha asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, you went to Miraj, yes. Hal ra'ayta rabban, did you see Allah, Ya Rasulullah? He said, oh my beloved wife Aisha, ra'aytu nuran, I only could see light, enlightenment, glitter, glamour. How could I see Allah? Meaning, look at the beautiful answer he gave. He's not saying that no, I didn't see Allah. He said, how do you expect me to see Allah when the only thing I could, my eyes were like just glittered and glamour with light. There was so much light. So what to talk about seeing Allah in person? And then Musa Islam here on earth demanded, oh Allah, I want to see. He couldn't see either. Why? Because Allah is batin. Allah is hidden. Yes, He's hidden. But does that mean He'll be hidden forever? No. In Jannah, Allah is going to show us. Because the whole test of Iman is to believe in Allah without seeing Him. And will you get your reward? Yes. The biggest reward for any believer on earth is not Jannah, not Ridha of Allah, but to see Allah. Imagine, just visualize, close your eyes for a second and imagine you're in Jannah and you've seen Allah. What kind of, what emotion? I mean, I try to mimic this. I try to, you know, play this emotion at home, sitting on the bed, lying on the bed. Like, how will I feel when I see Allah? I mean, the one we used to praise and pray and fast and sadaqah, I am seeing with my own eyes. And by the way, people have misconception. They think we won't see Allah with these eyes. Allah is going to put some superpower, super duper, superwoman or superman kind of eyes, and it's going to come out popping out, oh, now we can see Allah. No. This is a myth and misconception. Because Rasulullah was asked by Sahaba, he said, Ya Rasulullah, will we see Allah? I mean, this was their way. As if like a young boy or girl asking mom and dad, you know, can we get this? Can we get that toy from Toys R Us? Will we see Allah? I mean, there was so much love and emotion in the question of the Sahaba. Guess what Rasulullah said? He said, هَلْ تَرَوْنَ بَدْرًا? Look at the response, reply. I mean, superb. I mean, the way Rasulullah needs to quench the desire and the thirst of knowledge of Sahaba is amazing. He did not say yes and no. He could have just said simply, yeah, you'll see Allah. But look, he said, do you see the full moon? Badr means full moon. I mean, like there's half moon right now, but every month there's a full moon. He said, do you see the full moon? They said, yes. He said, just as you can see full moon with these same two eyes, you will see Allah. What is he implying? Who is genius enough here to understand the answer of Rasulullah? Look at the example that he's saying. He did not say sun, he said moon. Can we see sun with bare naked eye?
No.
You get blinded. But can you see moon every month? Yes, every month, every year you see moon. Meaning Allah is not something that is very difficult to see in Jannah. It's not that something going to harm you, harm your eye. Allah will show you Himself such as that you see the moon and you don't get hurt. And you don't get enough of it. You know? Because full moon only comes when? 3 days in a month. You don't see the whole month, 30 days. So what happens? You have ishtiyaq. You have desire. Every month you're waiting. Every 28, 29 days you're waiting. When's the next full moon? When's the next full moon so I can see moon? And you see for 3 days and you say, oh, now it's going down. In other words, you will never be fulfilled, satisfied from seeing Allah in Jannah. It's not like, oh yeah, I've seen Allah once. Yes or no? No! Every day in Jannah, you're going to wake up, first thing you're going to see is Allah. How do we get all this information? From one hadith of Rasulullah. This is why Rasulullah said that I have been given a special miracle in words. Utitu jawam al-kalam. Meaning, one of the miracles of Rasulullah was the way he would answer and the words he would choose in his answer, which speaks volumes. They're so succinct that each word speaks volumes of books in answer. And that was one of the miracles of Rasulullah. We're running out of time, so we'll finish with this. That how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-awwal, al-akhir, al-zahir, and al-batin? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the musabbibul asbab, that is why He is zahir. Meaning Allah is the one who created the knife and gave the knife the qudra to cut something. If Allah takes away from that knife that power to cut something, wouldn't you believe in Allah? Yes. Because you're going to say, all my life I knew the knife would cut. Why isn't it cutting now when Ibrahim al-Islam is putting it on Ismail al-Islam? Because Allah, the Zahir, is showing you His power. That look, I made you in sand, gave you the knowledge and ability to create a knife. You created it, but I, Allah, the Zahir, is the one who gave it power to cut. And now I, Allah, the Batin, is also taking away that power from that knife to cut. Likewise for fire, for Ibrahim al-Islam. Fire has the power to burn someone. But you can also become cool as a cucumber that Ibrahim Islam sits there and nothing happens. SubhanAllah. This is what Allah is saying. about Zahir and Batin. That how will you deny Allah the Zahir and Allah the Batin? That when things go wrong in your life, you begin to reflect on worldly things and not Allah. And when things go right in your life, you still don't think on Allah, but you think on worldly things. I attained this, I achieved this because of my own skill, caliber, my own qualities. The whole bottom line of this, brothers and sisters, is if we understand these 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfectly and superbly, there is no way that any Muslim will go deviant in their deen. The reason we Muslims have become so weak as an ummah today, we don't know Allah. We don't know the names of Allah, all of it. We don't know the meanings of the names of Allah. We don't know the sifat, attributes of Allah. We don't even know who is our creator. Not to give an example to show that Allah is close to us, but if I were to ask you, do you know your father? You say yes. And I will take your word for it. Because yes, you are so close to your father, or likewise mother, you say, I'll ask you, do you know your mother? You say yes, I know her inside out. Because you spend so much time with her and with him, and you're so close to your father and mother, and you know every single habit, etiquettes, manners of your father and mother. You're so close because you've been living all your life. So you got to know them. We've been living in this world for how long? Kids who are 9 and 10 for 9 years. For us, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Subhanallah, insan lives in this world for so many years and dies without knowing Allah. The only Allah they know is the word Allah. But they don't know the beauty of Allah, the grammar of Allah, the magnitude of Allah. That is why Allah started Surah Fatiha with this first ayah. Why? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks to Allah to get to know Allah. That Allah is most deserving of my praise and thanks. Why? Why will I know that? And when will I know that? When I know the names of Allah. So I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have started this endeavor every Thursday, inshallah. Is it 7:30 or 8? Toss a coin.